Tricia. The Bible says that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Jesus is coming. Praise God. I'll be preaching this morning from the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. I'm sure you figured out what I'm preaching from the children's sermon, but that's all right. I'm actually going to preach one verse of Scripture, but we're going to look at the whole context. And so I'll begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 13. Jesus had just picked his first disciples in Galilee and administered there. And it said that he was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And the people came out to him from every part of that country, and it said great multitudes followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. And then beginning in Matthew 5 and verse 1, it says, when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then he looked at the disciples and he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you open each heart, that your spirit fill this place, and that you touch our lives, that we might never be the same for Jesus' sake. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed how some of the sayings that we use are straight out of the Bible? This is one of those, and it's become one of the greatest compliments throughout all the ages to say of a person, you know, so-and-so is the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. In Jesus' day, salt was highly valued. Roman soldiers were even paid, and part of their pay was in salt. They would pay part of their salary in salt. And another saying comes from that when you say that, well, you know, old so-and-so is not worth their salt. Not worth their salt. That means they're certainly not worth what we're paying them. You see, in Jesus' day, there were three very special qualities. Now, salt is used for a lot of other things today. And one of the greatest uses of salt is if you live up in Yankee land, where it snows 6 and 8 inches at a shot, you use salt on the roads and salt on your sidewalk to melt the snow. And I probably could make some application about you being salt and melting the hearts of lost people. And that's very true. But I want to stick to what the people in Jesus' day thought about this thing of salt. And there were three very special qualities that salt had. The first, of course, was the connection with purity. The connection with purity. As I told the children about the little septic pencil, the salt stick that you... I mean to tell you, when you put that on, first of all, you know it touched you. And secondly, that will just close up a cut. But the most important thing in it is it purifies. Did you know that many times, and I learned this a long time ago, if a dentist took out a tooth and you went home and you were still having issues with it, what do you gargle with?
Salt water.
If you have a sore throat in the olden days, before they had blue million antibiotics, what did you do? You gargled with salt water. And so salt throughout the ages has been something that's been used for purity. Now in Jesus' day, even in the temple sacrifices, the sacrifice was made with salt. And that was, salt was one of the sacrifices. Think about this business of purity and think about the world that we live in. By the way, I meant to go right down through those Beatitudes and ask you, in the world today, are there a lot of people that are poor in spirit, or there are a lot of people that are conceited and arrogant and think a lot of themselves? Are there a lot of people today that mourn, or are there a lot of people that party? Are there a lot of people that are gentle, or will they cut you off at the knees? Are there a lot of those that hunger after righteousness, or do they rather wallow in their sin? Now you can go down through every one of those, and I can see Jesus as he gave those, then looking at the disciples with a smile, a little, you know, Jesus had a great sense of humor, and saying, "You're the salt. You're the salt. Sure to make a difference in the purity of this world that we live in." I think about the world today, and I think about the standards that day by day by day are lowering. Carol and I were watching TV the other night, and I'm not even going to name it because I'm sure that you've seen the same kind of things, and it wouldn't be appropriate for me to say it from the pulpit. But you've seen commercials just like I have that you would be ashamed if your grandchild was sitting there and turned around and said, "Grandpa, what is..." And Grandpa wouldn't have anything to do but hide his head. Inappropriate. And yet we're told that we need to be tolerant. I think about the world, and I think about the TV and the movie ratings. And I think about all that is said on TV, the words that are said. And the sad part is we become immune to all of that and don't even notice it, because it gradually seeps in. It gradually seeps in. I think about marriage today. Now, pretty soon, if things continue to go the way they are, you'll be able to marry your beloved Fido. Folks, we're almost there. Come on. We're almost there. Christians are called to be salt in the middle of this mess that the world has become and is becoming. I think of a word, integrity. And I wonder how much of that you see today when it's dog eat dog and I want mine and I'll kill you for it. You see, and all of this is done in the name of tolerance. You know, I had somebody tell me one day, they said, oh, you're Southern Baptist? You're one of those people that's intolerant. I said, if that means I don't put up with you, I guess so. Come on now. Tolerant? Is that what you want your children to be around and your grandchildren? And your... We just saw our second great-grandchild the day that she was born. Gorgeous child, and I don't want any of this garbage for her. And the only cure for the garbage is salt. Salty Christians. Another thing in Jesus' day, though, was that salt was a great preservative because General Electric and manna had not been around to invent a refrigerator. How long can you keep meat at your house without refrigeration? What happens when we have a hurricane? We had a tornado in Mississippi, and in the aftermath of the tornado, our church, because of its proximity to everything around, was designated as a relief center. And that meant that people brought all the bottled water and stacked it up at our church, and people come and get what they want. But one of the really great things is the Home Mission Board sent a truck with 6 generators. And so I got 6 of my older guys with pickup trucks, and each one of them got a partner, and every day they went out with those generators, and you know what they did? They charged freezers all over the community. And they went out, and 10 hours a day, they ran that generator and charged people's freezers. Why? So that they wouldn't lose their food. You see, we don't have any way to preserve it. Well, in Jesus' day, you salted food to preserve it. When we lived in French Camp, I may have told you about Everett, my neighbor across the street. I learned useful things from Everett. I walked outside one day and I said, boy, something stinks. Whoo-wee, and there was smoke coming from Everett's house. And I walked over and I said, son, what do you got burning? He said, I'm burning an old shoe because I saw a snake. I don't know if the snake stayed away, but I didn't go near his house for a long time. Everett, every year, would kill a hog and he'd do it the old-fashioned way. He had a salt box. Now, have any of you ever been raised in the country? And you might have a grandfather or a great-grandfather that did the same thing. And he would cut up the hog, put it in the box and salt it, lay it on a layer of salt, just encrust the hog with salt, close the box up tightly, and then, I don't know what everybody else did, Everett buried his in the ground. And took it out when the meat was cured. He cured the meat with salt. You know, I thought about that, and I thought about salt as it's a preservative. You know, it's easy to be good when you're in good company, isn't it? It's just as easy not to be good when you're in bad company. Did you know that? Things begin to slip. Things begin to slip. You know, when we're in good company, when the salt has been applied, it makes us uncomfortable to sin. Did you ever notice that? You know what I tell people all the time? They'll say, well, preacher, such and such isn't a sin. And I say, well, then why are you so mad about it? Why are you all upset telling me that? I never said it was. But you see, we are uncomfortable in sin. But the sad part is, if we stay with the sinners, we continue in it. Have you ever been out for a rousing evening? I'm not talking about you ladies last night. I'll talk about you in a minute. Have you ever been out for a, I shouldn't say rousing, I should say carousing evening, and gone home and felt very ashamed of yourself? It's a funny thing about a Christian. The Bible says that we still sin, but the Holy Spirit makes sure we don't enjoy it. And then you can have the other kind of night, like the ladies did last night. And they go to something like that when they're surrounded with nothing but Christian people and a program that is Holy Spirit filled. And what are they like when they come home? Now, guys, I can't speak for all of you, but it was really hard for me to get to sleep last night with that was going on in my ear. She says, I told you up until 4 o'clock this morning what we did. And I said, I know, honey, I dropped off by 2:30. You know what? Jesus knew that the people knew that one of the things that salt does is preserve. And what Jesus was saying to his disciples is, in this evil, wicked, vile world, and it hadn't changed, in this vile world, you need to be an agent for change, an agent for goodness and righteousness, that people might say that there's a difference. There's another thing that salt does. Salt enhances flavor. Now, I know that I've given you the illustration before of Mrs. Dash. Carol went on a crusade back years ago when everybody decided that salt would harden your arteries and you'd die the next day. Not wanting me to die the next day, she went out and bought Mrs. Dash a salt substitute. You ever had Mrs. Dash? You're allowed to do this now. Phew. Don't tell me it tastes the same as salt, because there's not a... Oh, I know, it's got all good stuff, and there's herbs and possum skin and chicken lips all ground up. It's all in there, but it ain't salt. And I want you to know there's no substitute in this world for the witness of a Christian person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and is salty about it. No chance. You see, people so many times think that we Christians are weird. They think we're somber. Now, I know that there's some folks that are Christians that dress like and act like an undertaker rather than a preacher. I understand that. And I understand. In fact, I had told Don, Robert Louis Stevenson one time is quoted as saying, I have been to church today and I'm not depressed. I want you to know something. If you go to a church and you come out depressed, don't go. The Lord Jesus Christ is not about that. The world needs to see the radiance of a beautiful life that's lived out of faith, that's vibrant in the life of a person that surrendered their life to Jesus. The world needs to see that. The world needs to see the true joy of the Lord living itself out in the life of a Christian. The world needs to see a people that have a passion for life. A passion for life. You say, well, I'm poor. How can I have a passion for life? Poor has nothing to do with it. I say, well, I don't have anything. How can I be? Has nothing to do with it. You know the song that, will you want to sing that again? The song this morning. If that doesn't make you passionate for the day of the Lord when he comes, there's something wrong with you. You need to check yourself. A passion for life. Now, there was another use for salt in that day. I'm sure that they all knew it, all of these people that we're talking about. Ovens in that day, now they didn't have refrigerators, but they did have ovens. But they were outside. They were built out of stone, and they were built on top of tiles. There were tiles inside. Anybody here ever have a wood stove that had fire brick inside? You know what the fire brick does, don't you? It absorbs that heat and it radiates that heat, and it'll keep that stove hot for hours after the fire's gone. Underneath the tiles in the outside ovens of Palestine, they would put a thick layer of salt. And it did the same thing, because salt has a quality in which it radiates and reflects heat. And when Jesus said, when the salt has lost its usefulness, it's not good for anything but to put it outside and trample it underfoot. I think that that's probably what he had in mind. Because, you know, there was a time when that salt under the tile would burn out. They'd take up the tile, they'd shovel out the salt, they'd throw it out in the roadway and put new salt back inside. You know, I thought about that. I thought about the new salt that needs to come into Christian lives. You know, if you're not salty like you used to be, if people don't see Jesus in you like you used to, then you need to have something happen to you. The psalmist wrote it this way in Psalm 85. He says, wilt thou not thyself revive us again, that thy my people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not thyself revive us again? Breathe your Holy Spirit upon us. Father, will you not renew a right spirit within us? God, will you not restore the joy of your salvation in your people? Oh, God, that we might be, truly be, the salt of the earth. Let's pray. Oh, God, I pray that you might touch each life. I pray, Father, that each one of us might look inside. I pray that you'd expose in us those places where the saltiness has burned out. And that you might break our hearts over that. Father, that we might repent. And that you might restore and revive us again. Oh God, that you'd have a spirit-filled, salty people adding flavor to this world. God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. It's always my prayer. Every time I stand here, it's my prayer that God will speak to your heart. There's not a thing that I've said here today that's important. What God says to your heart is, it's life. And I wonder if he's spoken to you this morning. If he has, you need to come and you need to be obedient to the Lord, to whatever he's asked you to do. You need to come. Come to Jesus. I don't propose to know what you need in your life, but the Lord Jesus knows. He's calling you to come to him. I'll stand down here. I'll pray with you. I'll help you, whatever you need. But you don't come to me. You come to Jesus. Our praise team's going to sing the hymn of invitation. Will you step out? Will you come on the very first note?